Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Good morning to you all. Happy Easter weekend. I'm going to do a show today packed with science. It's going to have a lot of theological, philosophical, metaphysical attachments to it. We're going to discuss, well, here's today's show, the title of the show, Healing Disease and the Suffering of Christ. DMT explored as the link between the two. That is a mouthful. Healing Disease and the Suffering of Christ. DMT, that's dimethyltryptamine, explored as the link between the two. What is that about? Well, I was raised Roman Catholic. I went to St. Robert Bellarmine Grammar School. I went to Archbishop Molloy High School. St. Robert Bellarmine was ordained saint. Of course, if you know history, after he had Giordano Bruno executed for not recanting his notion that the sun, not the earth, was the center of the solar system. That was St. Robert Bellarmine doing the thing that, well, in the Middle Ages, probably the Vatican admits today, they did a little bit too more aggressively, imprisoning Galileo, but nothing more than the belief that he had to shed light and illuminate the world by saying that the sun, not the earth, was the center of the solar system. Bruno had his head cut off. Bellarmine was ordained a saint. I was raised strict Roman Catholic. I was educated by the Jesuits, I am proud to say. I got a wonderful educate by the Society of Jesuits. And to this day, if I ever do donate, it will be to the Jesuits for what they represented. But I was not a practicing Catholic. I became born again as an evolution. And this is where the show really begins. I became born again as an evolution in response to working with people who were suffering. We talk about healing disease. Today, the day before Easter, Holy Saturday, after Good Friday, after Thursday, the agony in the garden. We talk about healing disease, but what in all practicality, after you study all the science and get all the clinical experience, really what it comes down to, largely for people who have chronic disease, illness, symptoms, health grievances, is how they suffer. How do you understand your suffering? Do you curse God because you suffer? Do you feel left out? Everybody goes through these moments when things get heavy. Now, as a practicing clinician over 25 years, you see a lot of things. A lot of things you don't feel capable of dealing with. How do you deal with people who suffer? Well, things I can't and won't mention on the radio. I don't want to ruin your day. How do you deal with that as a clinician? Well, one thing you do is you evolve a philosophy of it. You look for its relationship to the healing. You search for the links between the two. And that's how I became born again. It was an illumination based upon the pain of sharing a lot of suffering with a lot of people for a long time. Because we celebrate the man tomorrow, the God tomorrow, who suffered and who transcended his suffering And that is what we call the resurrection with all its implications now over 2,000 years later. Now, on my end of the stick are people who sit across my desk each day, each week, that have had very, very aggressive, ugly, life-changing wake-up calls. You wake up blind. You wake up, you can't move. You wake up with growths in your body that can be fatal. You wake up, be told your immune system is eating pieces of you. That's heavy stuff. I'm not a divorce attorney. I'm not an investment banker. I sit across, and I love applying the science, as you well know, as much as I can. That's my, well, first and foremost calling, I think. I get excited about the science, but I've never been able to get around that the person across the desk who suffers the disease, the symptom, is going to have to embrace the pain. More easily said than done, admittedly. But you got to do it, and if you don't, you don't heal. Now that's amazing to me. It's ironic. I don't have enough descriptive words that could do that reality justice. That with all the science stuffed into all the skyscrapers of all the scientific knowledge in the world, the bottom line is, if you can't embrace the suffering, you don't heal. Now, of course, that's all part of the autonomic nervous system. I don't want to get too much in that today. Of course, embracing the suffering, well, we celebrate the life of a person named Christ, Jesus Christ, who certainly had his work cut out for him. And for those of you who at times don't like talking about the Christ as man, well, I'm going to do that today, keeping in mind that, of course, Jesus was God. And you have to hold that dichotomy. If you lose the man Christ, it's tougher to relate to. What does the man Christ have to tell you tomorrow morning on your way to work, in your pain, in your suffering, in your fear, and in your misery, or hatred, or resentment, or grief, or sadness? So to me, as a Christian, as a practicing clinician, I have to ask myself why we suffer, thus the show today. Picture number one, if you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici, straighttalk.cc, not .com, that's with two T's. Take a look at the pictures, as always, they say 1,000 words. Picture number one. We celebrated or absorbed or meditated upon that picture Thursday, right? That's the agony in the garden. That's when, well, Jesus still had a choice, right? Why did I have to get this brain tumor? Why did I wake up crippled one day and they told me I had sclerosis, multiple sclerosis? Why are my immune system cells eating out my collagen or my joints, and they've told me I have lupus? Why is that back pain not going away? It's been 10 years. Why can't I heal the infections in my teeth? Why am I 40 years old and someone told me you look 60? And honestly, I agree with them. You do look 60. Why did I age so fast? What can I do about it? Why does everybody else get to eat what they want and I don't? Why do I have all this stress and everybody else seems to get off scot-free? You realize, of course, my audience, that's the illusion. People are crazy. People, when they're sick, they're crazy. We're all crazy. People, when they're sick, they're really crazy. And one of the things they deceive themselves about is they think they're the only person that suffers. When all you have is pain to remind you of your day, you tend to get very self-centered. Doctors, clinicians, healers, counselors, therapists, priests, rabbis have to remember that. People in pain are focused on their pain. Well, that is, of course, the problem. Picture number one is Jesus in the garden. He's asking himself, no doubt, how is he going to do this? He knows, being prophetic, being God, being paranormal, he knows he's about to be tortured. We don't know how bad those tortures actually were, do we? There's a range of thought about that. But at least we have to settle for nails, being punched through your limbs, asphyxiation by crucifixion, stones, hard rocks being thrown at your face. I mean, the historians just talk about the culture of the day. What would you do with a thief or a child molester or whatever? Well, Jesus got no less and probably more. So being paraphysiological, he knew he was on his way to a horrid torture. And of course, because he was Jesus, because he was God, he could have denied himself that. He could have gotten out of it. Now, there's the man in him in that agony, right? One might say, well, he was God. He knew he was going to resurrect, and he knew his message would be heard. The consciousness of the world would change henceforth. He knew that, and he knew he would ascend to heaven. So what is he sweating in that agony? Well, see, that's, of course, the point, right? I hope I'm not telling you anything you don't know on that matter. He suffered that night, like we suffer, like you suffer. Most people, in my experience, when they get sick, it's 2 years before they even embrace the suffering. So I'm going to ram this one down your throat today in that way that sometimes you don't like. Well, that's tough. All too often, I mean, almost all the time. And again, it's understandable, but you can't do it. You can't do it. It's so easy to do, to have that temper tantrum. I mean, theoretically, Jesus did it in a night. How many people I've seen, it takes a year, 2 years, 3 years. I watch people, and I am not kidding, spend their whole life having a temper tantrum about their suffering. It never ends. The suffering in the poor me. Make no mistake about it. Had Jesus not embraced his suffering, had not turned it into a higher power, had not employed or deployed physiological systems manifest in all of us, inherent in all of us, to transcend his suffering, there would have been no ascension. Rest assured. Let's not make this resurrection thing, this ascension thing, some Santa Claus story. You know, there is no Santa Claus, right? But there was a resurrection, and there was someone named Jesus, and he did suffer horribly, and he did come back in flesh. Not an apparition or a ghost, but in flesh. That's a tough act to follow. He must have been doing something, I can guarantee you. And this is the relevance to you with your symptom, with your disease. He embraced his suffering. That is the agony in the garden. That's the better side of it. Love that picture there, number one. Look at picture number two. There. That's another version of the agony in the garden. He's embracing his suffering. And, of course, who's on their way down? The angel. Look at picture number one. What is around his head? A halo. Do you think people put halos around the Christian saints, around Jesus, because it looked cool? Or did it mean something? Could it mean that there was a physiological phenomenon going on? Could it mean that Jesus was lit up? Because he came here lit up. Could it be that his suffering was part of the process through which he lit up even further? When was the last time you... when you weren't